now on Radio 4, our play, a dramatised version of one of the most famous and enduring poems of the First World War, Strange Meeting.
It seemed that out of battle I escaped, down some profound, dull tunnel, long since scooped through granites which titanic wars had groined. Yet also there encumbered, sleepers groaned. Too fast in thought or death to be bestirred. Then, as I probed them, one sprang up and stared. And by his smile I knew that sullen hall. By his dead smile I knew we stood in hell.
Strange Meeting, a radio play by Peter Wolfe, inspired by Wilfred Owen's poem, with Alex Jennings as the captain and Paul Rees as Wilfred Owen.
Twenty minutes till dawn, sir. I've lit your lamp and broke the ice on your watch jug. You asked me to wake you, sir.
Ah, thank you, Sergeant. Any news?
Sir?
The ceasefire.
None. Bar a miracle, we'd go in 40 minutes.
I'm afraid my watch says 39.
You don't reckon we could delay the assault in case of word of hostilities ending? I mean, it's futile now. So few of us left. Attacking the enemy when both they and we know any moment this war will end. I mean, the Russians had it right, eh? Wouldn't play tin soldiers no more. Just shot their officers and walked away, back home. Back to the fields and ploughs.
Sergeant, this is court-martial talk.
So what'll you do? Shoot me.
If you must walk, walk now, and good luck. But I'd rather be shot in action than by my own side. Are you with me? Either way, there's no evading fate. Somewhere there's a bullet with our name written on, and sure as destiny, we must meet it.
Then this is what it means.
What?
To be shot by both sides, friend and foe. And here in this dugout, we dig our own grave. When will Europe find peace? When will our suffering cease?
Cease to exist. Deceased. Today's the day, I know it. Deceased. Because whenever I shut my eyes, my life goes flashing before me. Can't control it. Deceased. Must accept it. Deceased. Cling to these last shrapnel bursts of memory while I can before they're gone forever, even as I squat here writing deceased on the cards of my poor lost boys. Privates, sergeants, subalterns, now reduced to number, rank, surname. Deceased. Once they had Christian names by which their loved ones gently called them. And so indeed had I. What was it? Hell. Number, rank, surname, I know, of course, but my real name, it quite escapes me. How in heaven's name did it go?
Wilfred!
Or do I even care? When soon all I'll be is deceased.
Wilfred!
Quick, she's in range. Yard close to Mrs. Owen.
Wilfred, it's nearly dark.
Perfect. Her back's turned.
My new white shirt. Mother'll kill me.
Mummy's boy.
Ruth, I'm hardly a boy.
Mother trusts me to act grown up, yet here I am in a ditch with a farm girl trying to ambush her.
Hold still while I wipe you then.
Mother treats me as an adult because she knows I've already decided what I'm going to do when I am one.
Me too. I'll marry a dunce and have endless children, just like everyone else in Shropshire.
Oh, not me. You see this tomato stuff, all red down my shirt?
Mm-hmm.
It makes me look like some wounded crusader. And reminds me of my quest.
Hey?
Ruth, listen. When old age shall this generation waste, thou shalt remain in midst of other woe than ours, a friend to man, to whom thou sayest, beauty is truth. Truth, beauty, that is all ye know on earth and all ye need to know.
Big words from a sickly lad.
Sickly poet, actually. John Keats. Only twice my age when he passed away. He's my hero. I worship him.
I say bugger poetry, Wilf. Perhaps the true beauty you seek is me.
Getting dark. Mother will worry. I better go.
It's getting light. We better go.
Could I just steal the last stand of Icy's High? It's only right to give Hugo one more chance.
How do you mean?
He's just lost his dog to me, sir. Next, he'll be betting his mother.
You're cool, Hugo.
Oh, this is absurd.
Yeah. Hey, this trench is a real crew, eh? Us at cards. Richard gobbling sausage for breakfast. Thomas still asleep.
Captain!
Sergeant, thank God.
Bad news, sir. Only 15 men ready and able.
15?
Lost 9 more in last night's chill.
15.
Could be worse, sir.
Oh? How?
Well, counting me, Thomas, Richard and Hugo, we got...
Private Luxembourg, how many times must I repeat? Thomas, Richard and Hugo will take no further part in this conflict because Thomas, Richard and Hugo, alongside Bert, Frank, Oscar, Albert and Frederick, bless their souls, are dead.
What? You're mad. He's mad.
Me? Captain, 3 weeks he's kept up this daft idea.
Look at them, look. He's sat here all...
That's only because there's no one left to bury him.
Pipe up, Hugo. Kindly inform the sergeant.
Oh, no reply. Why? Because Hugo's mouth's an icy green puddle. And here, Thomas, no one be rats. His gaping skull, noted.
Enough,
Sergeant. Easy on the boy.
We've rotted here so long, they're a bloody landmark, son. It's the runner's joke. Turn right past Hugo till you're in.
No! Captain! My mates are fine. Just let me deal him another hand. 9 of diamonds. 5 of hearts.
Leave him. We've lost him.
Yeah, Jack o'clock. 2 of hearts.
What is that?
Your insult.
I'm still deaf from yesterday's shelling.
10 of cups.
Search me. Blowflies, I reckon.
3 of swords.
Blowflies in November.
Oh, mercy.
Ha! Ace of spades! Ace is high! You go, mate, you did it!
And I'll see, Captain!
I knew it foolproof! You go! You win!
Did you read the wing tag? The plane was one of ours.
Not again.
Sergeant, fetch his dog tags, wallet. Close his eyes.
Sir. Luxembourg. Private. JR293K. NR570. Deceased by friendly fire. Now your favorite sniper really has joined his friends. Strange name. Luxembourg.
Jewish, maybe. Judging from his raven-haired sweetheart.
All the pictures in the wallets in the battlefield. Let's go. Leave the dead to play their game of chance.
Now you've filled in his exit card. You'll never guess what playing card our imbecile dealt himself.
Enlighten me.
The Joker. Deceased by friendly fire? Where did you dream that up?
Orders from above. It's called euphemism. Beloved of generals, politicians, cowards, and poets.
Class enemies, everyone. Euphemisms, lies.
He's right. We use dull, bland words to make safe what should be shouted down as insane, obscene. Such is the pity of war. It neuters truth. Yet in 29, or more correctly, 28 minutes, at 8 a.m. on November the 4th, 1918, in the frozen mud by a Belgian canal, all this will cease for me, as it just has for Private Luxembourg. Ah, this wasteland. When once courage was mine and I dared thumb my young and innocent nose at fate. If only I'd cherished each moment before the fall. Oh, such waste. Too late.
Dearest, do come in. I'm just pouring tea.
Ah, Ruth, I mistook you for my son.
Sorry to disappoint you, Mrs. Owen, ma'am. But knowing you were expecting Master Wilfred, I took it upon myself to come up from below stairs and inform you that Master Wilfred has in fact sent a letter instead of himself.
He's written?
It's just arrived.
Surely.
He's been gone so long, ma'am. Won't it be grand to know how Master Wilfred is?
Thank you, Ruth.
Dunsden Vicarage, the 12th of December, 1912, my dearest mother. That's nice. Please forgive my continued absence through pressure of work. Also, I have something to confess which comes easier by letter than face to face.
The Christian life affords no imagination. I have murdered my false creed.
Dear.
I wonder if you notice anything unusual in my writing. The fact is, my left knuckles are lacerated from a fall. Though I only lost half a dozen drops of blood, I was washing the wound when sudden twilight seemed to fall upon the world and great darkness closed around me. Strange noises overtook me, and I found myself gasping at a window without quite knowing how I got there. Oh, it was a blissful moment when the lights were turned up again in my head. And the sensation of quickening circulation was like the return of spring. I found myself in an icy sweat and of a truly beautiful romantic pallor. Mother, I must sleep now. Your lovingest son, Wilfred.
Listen, this is our hole in the ground, here. That is their hole in the ground, there. In 18 minutes' time, we will climb out of our hole in the ground to attack their hole in the ground, which, as we know from bitter experience, is about 300 paces across what I can only describe as hell on earth. Now, they over there, they really don't want us to capture their hole in the ground, so from the moment we climb out of our hole in the ground, they will do their level best to slaughter us. Here's a note from HQ, handed to the runner I sent to request reinforcement unit.
4th of November, 1918. Message from Major Hanson to Captain...
To the point, Benedict.
Your function is to launch a decoy assault upon the enemy's eastern flank, drawing fire in order that our main body of troops can retake the canal by surprise.
The bridge is ablow.
Private Warner, perhaps you'd like to share your wisdom with the whole company.
Sir, the bridge is ablow. Call me stupid, plenty do, but... How can the main body of troops retake the canal if...
Yeah, well put. Major Hanson has achieved many things in this war, but even he has yet to walk on water. So, in absence of a ceasefire, we at least know why, in theory at least, we found ourselves on the line this morning. While we await our promised reinforcement units, I suggest you make use of time remaining to write to your loved ones, if you have any. Check and double-check weaponry, if you have any. And above all, get as drunk as you possibly can.
How?
Yeah.
Our only drink is trench piss.
Then be glad in me you've a born leader.
Oh.
Real German snacks. Liberated from that dugout we retook last week.
To which, may I add, sir, liberated from our forward field hospital, 2 jars of medical alcohol.
Oh, no, no, no.
Line over there will never know what in them. With any luck, we over here will never know what it is.
Gentlemen, a toast. Salut, as they say here in Belgium.
Salut!
If I sacrifice the reinforcement units out front, send them over the top in the first wave, there's just a chance a handful of our crew, shielded by the bodies piled high in front of them, may survive if they keep their heads down. Who knows? One or two may even live to see that word.
What word?
That long-lost word we're forbidden to say on pain of execution.
Hot peace!
We don't want a mutiny. Play our cards right, it might just come true for one or two, anyway.
Not that it'll help us to.
Yeah, oh, we of the higher ranks aren't allowed to loiter. Must lead by example, head the fatal charge.
Unless we're top brass, snug in a bunker. Bastards. And who's this you're writing to, eh? Another half.
What?
You know. Some blonde-haired sweetheart.
Hardly, though she is the only woman in my life.
Then I'll leave you in peace, sir. For now, anyway.
7:45 a.m. 4th of November, 1918. Sambre Canal, Belgium.
Just past midnight. New Year's Day, 1917. Some France. All very hush-hush.
Dear mother.
My dearest mother, as I know you love me to call you.
I hope you're well.
I've received orders to join the 2nd Manchester Regiment. It's wonderful to be joining well-trained troops. All here are mere recruits under a crippled drill sergeant. There's a fine, heroic feeling being in France again. Oh, soon I'll be there, at the front. Perhaps I'm at last being pulled to my true destiny. Years of searching over. Do you know what would hold me together on the battlefield? The sense that I was perpetuating the language in which Keats wrote. I do not know in what else England is dearer to me. Like Keats, I must venture unafraid, trust to my voices and visions, no longer a poet without a cause, because my hour is come. Love from Wilfred. Kiss, kiss.
Oh, Owen!
Yes, sir.
Owen, you're dead.
Me? How, sir? Why me, sir?
I crept up behind you and slit your blessed throat, Owen.
But, sir, basic training's over, sir. It's New Year's Day, sir. You said we were dismissed. I was simply writing to my mother.
Writing? To his mother?
Yes, in my time off.
Time off? Time off? Think the Hun has time off? Think the Hun writes his ma? The Hun eats babies, rapes virgins, burns churches, and when you meet this animal, think he'll stride towards you, hand outstretched in greeting like a British gent? No, my darling, being a Hun, a Bosch, a Kraut, being a pure-blooded German, he'll target your weakest flaw and butcher you cold and roast your balls on a spit for his breakfast of schnapps and black bread. So, Owen, and all you sorry bunch, be ever watchful, ever vigil, always on guard, because next time, Owen, I'll be the Hun.
Stand to your foe, fight till all of us fall, singing an old rebel song. Hey!
Sunrise over no man's land. Time running out. So up periscope and spy over the trench. Make ready for the last battle. Usual grim view, mud, blood. Crows pick the meat of those we left behind. But wait. What's there? In the enemy trench? Sniper barrel or... a periscope?
Yes.
Just like mine. Well, my opposite number. Drunk as a lord, probably, much like me, surveying. But no, sir, don't I? Keep staring. Let this be our standoff.
gentlemanly adversaries in a long-distance duel. Each of us one in a pair of eyes meeting across no man's land. Imagine the science of it. The centuries of human evolution leading to this. My eye glares into a mirror, reflected by another mirror, reflected 300 paces across the gulf between us, then into your mirror, reflected into another mirror, and into your enemy eye. We two gazing into mirror images of each other's likeness over and over to infinity.
What trench anesthetic, sir?
Pardon?
Schnapps and medical cocktails.
Oh, any more and I'll be hallucinating.
Clean your revolver, then?
Why the favours, Benedict?
Just repaying you for oiling my Dutch courage. A man needs a working weapon.
Then why not? Can't remember when I last bothered cleaning anything. Ah. I bet you clean your pistol, my wily foe, with your periscope eyes still trained directly on mine. And making me shiver. I wonder, Captain, are you good at your job, or did it all become futile one day when you, like the worst of us, were baptized with the sprayed brains of a comrade? You, like me, in jagged bursts only traced and retraced the fatal steps that led to this, our judgment hour? Lord knows. All I know is no man's land, and you out there at 300 paces watching like me, waiting like me. But who exactly are you behind your evil eye? Come to that. Who are any of us? Looking at you, my drunk head spins. I lose all sense of...
Here's your gun ready for killing, sir.
Private Benedict, odd question, but could you possibly tell me exactly, I keep, well, confusing who I am.
You're the captain, sir.
But can we be sure of the face in the mirror?
Well, that's who you are, sir. Always have been.
But remember the guard's age-old question.
Eh?
Hot, who goes there, friend or foe? Do you follow?
Not for me.
We draw a line, yes? Dig a trench, dividing us from them, self from other, but whose side of the line are we on? Ours or theirs, friend or foe? And the land beneath our feet, whose exactly is it, after all? It's changed sides so many times, but no one asks. Is it his? Mine? Am I him? Is he not he, but me?
No, you're starting to sound like the stars.
There we are. Name, number, rank, identity. And a gap for when they're right, deceased.
Run! Quick! Run!
They got him. He's done for.
Hard luck, Norton! Good innings!
26th of June, 1917. Cricket field of Craig Lockhart Hospital. Dear Mother. Dearest Mother. My dear Mother. My dearest...
Tears again.
I can't write sick.
It's normal with shell shock. The doctor said...
I used to crave the shedding of blood.
Relax, Wilf. And count yourself lucky. Whereas I'm invalided out of action as punishment for campaigning against the war, you're here on merit. Now, for sanity's sake, rest a while. And lose yourself in the beautiful game.
Oh, neat stroke.
If only war were like cricket, eh?
Now, there's a title worth stealing. If Only War Were Cricket, by Wilfred Owen.
From an idea by Siegfried Sassoon, if you please.
Two captains, face to face, yet unarmed, their fight.
Their troops wear the soft same uniform, angel white.
Well, go on.
So alike, it's hard to tell one side from t'other.
Friend from foe, stranger from brother.
Sweet sentiment. Verse two?
We battle in sport and never in anger, knowing each man is each other's doppelganger.
At close of play, we all shake hands and retreat to the pavilion for a peaceful tea.
Yes, that doesn't rhyme.
Yeah, well, hold on. Wait for it. What better way exists can anyone see for ending all conflict than grand old cricket.
The art of war played gentlemanly.
Oh, well done, sir. Clever shot. Well done, Wolf. You get better by the day.
Odd word.
What?
Doppelganger.
Oh, that, yes. You just used it.
A foreign word.
German, ironically. Enemy word, like my Christian name.
Yeah. Translates to double walker. Means phantom double, a person's mirror image. They're opposite, walking the earth.
Speaking of which, young Clark could do with a double runner. He can barely hobble between wickets.
I'm trying to write a poem on the subject.
Cricket?
No. Doppelgangers. Something about someone meeting someone unique.
Oh, never! Umpire, rule against the Sharks! Leg before wicket. Or artificial leg before wicket in Clark's case. Bold ALBW. Well, that's it, Wolf. Our last man has fallen. It's over. We lost. Time for tea.
No, I'll stay put, thank you.
Huh?
I think I'll try writing again.
Wolf, doppelganger poem. It's about us, isn't it?
How'd you work that out?
Well, who else would qualify as Captain Owen's first man on the team sheet? Spirit double, heading your secret roll call. Whoever could he be, Wolf, if not me?
Warner. Sir. Benedict.
Present.
Helms.
Yes. More or less.
Warner.
You already called me, Sarge.
Right. Hubert.
Watching.
Draft.
Waiting. There's a moment before an assault when even the sands of time seem to hush in the hourglass. Laws of physics halt, and we are left alone in it. The nowness of things, the inescapable certainty of where the journey leads. The story ends.
Raph, wake up, boy!
Can't start.
So.
I wonder, my opposition beyond the wire, dare you, like me, reverse that periscope and turn it into a microscope by which to examine your own foolish road to our reckoning? Gaze into the microscope, my foe. Time to decide who each of us are and were. Damned by the fact that whatever we see, there's no way out, no going back.
Going back? You're going back again
to the front, yes. I'm ready.
This is madness. Wolf, why?
To prove I'm no coward. To right by my boys, to change things for the better, to right the truth, I suppose.
And at what point, I wonder, does truth become beauty?
How do you mean?
You know, beauty is truth, and truth, beauty. Our romantic quest, remember?
Romance is extinct, blown apart by the first grenade.
Granted, but what if, with each new rhyme and clever metaphor, we are reducing war's obscenity to mere euphemism?
Surely our work brings humanity to the battlefield in order that such slaughter might never happen again.
So we hope. Admit it, even set in a graveyard, a poem's a thing not of truth, but of blinding beauty. Such is its nature, and ours, Wilf. Tender men forced to murder other tender men we don't even hate. Hardly surprising we hide ourselves in a bunker of words.
Oh, please, don't miss the one last chance to make a difference. Become a hero.
Oh, no more heroes, Wilf. We agreed. Except at a pinch, dear old John Keats, so gentle and pure.
Keats is dead, Siegfried.
Indeed, at 25. Same age as you now.
What of it?
Nothing. Just that poem, your doppelganger poem.
Strange meeting.
From the lines I've read, it's a masterpiece.
Well, posterity will judge.
Still unfinished, though. Unfinished business.
Perhaps I need to return to the front to finish it.
No. I fear you go back to make it come true, and in so doing, finish you. I'm right, aren't I? Your doppelganger, Wilf. So long I prayed it was me, but it's someone altogether more doomed, isn't it? For Owen is a writer with a cause, and his cause is neither war nor even peace anymore, but death. Death, Wilf. Where's the beauty in that?
Company present and correct, sir.
Here, all 14 of us that are bred dead or surrendered.
Thank you, my brothers in arms.
So many different lives, colours. Oh, mystery man across no man's land, why can't the periscopes through which we reveal our fatal flaws, why can't these microscopes become telescopes, kaleidoscopes of harmony and brotherly love? If we could just join hands. Then again, why bother trying? With less than 3 minutes to the end of time, end of memory. Savor each moment, my alien friend. We have 180 seconds, 179, 178, and counting before Armageddon breaks loose the beast.
Sir!
Sergeant!
Free company, present and correct!
Right.
What now, sir?
Pardon?
Orders, what are they?
Of course, orders. 14 men, standing alone, awaiting reinforcement. 169 seconds to zero, Al. What does he do, I wonder, my alien twin?
Sergeant, don't pressure me! And stand to attention when addressing an officer.
Captain, I repeat, what should we do?
How the devil should I know?
Brother coming in!
Right, just in time. Load for Captain Wilfred.
Thank you.
Probably the usual HQ cock-up. Reinforcements drunk, attack postponed. Trench rats stand down till further notice.
Being our frontline comedian and chief military strategist, Corporal Benedict will read out my orders.
Sir, reinforcements gassed.
Hear that? Across the wire? Round one to you, my foreign double.
Reinforcements gassed. Mortality 100%. Proceed as per plan.
Proceed? Cut.
Down here in black and white, Sarge. Look.
This is murder. On the contrary. For once, there's method in Major Hansen's madness. See, the fewer of us in the charge, the more space between each man, yes? And the greater space between, the lesser each man's chances of being hit. Brilliant strategy.
Sergeant, have the company fix bayonets, then mount the ladders in attack formation. We go in less than 90 seconds.
No.
Sorry, I gave you an order.
It's suicide.
It's destiny. For God's sake, think, man. We have witnesses. I give you one final chance to obey.
Captain, I followed you to Hallenbeck, but this... So near to a ceasefire, I'm not about to sacrifice what remains of my lads because of some criminal order.
Your lads?
Yeah! My equals, my brothers!
These lads are my lads! Heart and soul! Benedict! Disarm the sergeant! Elms! Arrest them both! Warner, don't just stand there! Very well. You forced my hand.
He's pulling a gun.
Get him! Stop! Mute on it!
Sorry, Captain. On the grounds of drunkenness and shell shock and suicidal madness, I respectfully revoke your command.
Wait! I only drew my revolver to lead the charge.
Lads, for once, by chance, fate dealt us a fair hand. So let's grab this chance and aim our weapons, not at our brethren across the trench, but at our common enemy, the class enemy, the ruling class.
Yeah.
I say, whatever our nation, how thick are we to slaughter each other while they, our so-called betters and superior officers, in their bunkers and palaces, they get rich and keep us out here fighting each other instead of them?
Yeah. Agree! I agree! You know this! But surely, our duty...
No place left for divided loyalty, Captain. Enough blood, I reckon. The revolution starts here.
You mean we're going to live?
On my life, I promise it. Same as the Russians! We're going home!
Yes!
Major Hansen's field guns. One round every 7 seconds.
8 o'clock. 0 hour. Bang on time by my watch. Opening salvo. Cover fire. Softening up the enemy on our behalf. And our signal, gentlemen, to attack.
Confirm, comrades. Respectfully disobey all orders.
Yeah, this war's not of our making. We disown it.
Come on, Jesus Christ, listen.
Don't fret, son. On the front line, shells up.
Shut up and listen, can't you hear?
The Elder?
Bastard's done it again.
What?
Misread the map and overshot the coordinates.
Fall back, lads! Retreat!
No! Forward! Back! Get back! We're seeing death!
Forward! This way! Our only hope is at last!
Move! Run! Take cover!
What passing bells for those who die as cattle.
Divided we stand. United we fall.
Batter of guns and chatter of flying muscles.
So much for the revolution.
Wading sloughs of flesh, these helpless wander. Treading blood from lungs that had loved laughter.
Runner, don't just lie there. Help me up.
Oh, oh no. Runner. Hold on, please try. We're the only two left.
So, three company. Now we are truly down to the last man. My gray uniform red with your blood. So what I do next, I do in your name. My lads, my heroes, I salute you. Mental message to Major Hansen. Company deceased. 100% mortality. Captain alone will proceed as per plan. Climb trench ladder. Deep breath. Head down. And
Pace it. You can make it. Aim for the periscope and he'll be there. Your nemesis. He's fixing to your positive. Pulling us irresistibly toward each other across no man's land. Captain Doppelganger, be warned. I'll neither zigzag your machine guns nor dodge your lethal gas. For now's time to find out who we really are, one on one. Me storming towards you, and when I reach you, I will give no quarter! Ancient warrior tribes, armor-clad knights, even the skeletal remnants of Waterloo. From Caesar to Napoleon, I lead the ghostly battalions of every age, arisen from this haunted land so often thought of, so often perished for. The periscope I aim for is turned into a man. My mirror image, brave but wild, just like me, arisen from his trench and charging head on. Two forces, identical powers, soon to clash. Now, to crash into one. But who will be the victor? You or me? Self or other? Kill!
Hurry in before you take a kill.
Kill!
Will, perhaps the true beauty you seek is me.
Kill!
I'll be the hunt!
Kill! 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 Kill!
It seemed that out of battle I escaped. Down some profound, dull tunnel, long since scooped through granites which titanic wars had groined. Yet also there encumbered sleepers groaned, too fast in thought or death to be bestirred. Then, as I probed them, one sprang up and stared with piteous recognition in fixed eyes. Lifting distressful hands as if to bless. And by his smile, I knew that sullen hall. By his dead smile, I knew we stood in hell. With a thousand pains, that vision's face was grained. Yet no blood reached there from the upper ground, and no guns thumped or down the flues made moan. Strange friend, I said, here is no cause to mourn.
None, said that other, save the undone years, the hopelessness. Whatever hope is yours was my life also. I went hunting wild after the wildest beauty in the world, which lies not calm in eyes or braided hair, but mocks the steady running of the hour. And if it grieves, grieves richlier than here. For of my glee might many men have laughed, and of my weeping something had been left, which must die now. I mean the truth untold, the pity of war, the pity war distilled. I would have poured my spirit without stint, but not through wounds, not on the cess of war. Foreheads of men have bled where no wounds were. I am the enemy you killed, my friend. I knew you in this dark, for so you frowned yesterday through me as you jabbed and killed. I parried, but my hands were loath and cold. Let us sleep now. Captain Wilfred Owen, 2nd Manchester Regiment. Born March the 18th, 1893, at Place Wilmot, Oswestry. Died November the 4th, 1918, at Storm Canal, Belgium.
Captain Karl-Heinz Wilfred, 3 Company, Rhineland Battalion. Born April the 4th, 1891, at home in Frankfurt, Germany. Died November the 4th, 1918, at Sambre Canal, Belgium. I am the enemy you killed, my friend.
Let us sleep now.
But not in war.
Over, ma'am. Today, the war. They say it's over.
Thank you, Ruth.
They say we won. That's what they say.
Oh, my son, where have you gone? All our poor lost boys. Where did you go?
Strange Meeting by Peter Wolfe was inspired by the poem of the same name by Wilfred Owen. The captain was played by Alex Jennings and Wilfred Owen by Paul Rees. Siegfried Sassoon was played by Ian Masters, Mrs. Owen by Francis Jeter, the sergeant by Stephen Critchlow, the drill sergeant by Geoffrey Whitehead, Benedict by Harry Myers, Warner Giles Fagan, Elms, Ben Crow, and Ruth, Tilly Gaunt. The music was by Norbert Zem, and the play was directed by Cherry Cookson.